the Business Zone of Kello News Talk 1320 107.9. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, and it's the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. And now, here is your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning. I'm Bill Zortman. And this is It's Your Business. It's show number 669. Or is it 682? It's 682. Just had to get that number right. You've been gone, Rev, for a few weeks, so we're glad to have you back. But it is an original show. It's an It's Your Business series. Today, it's Addiction Recovery on Kello News Talk 1320 107.9 and on our World Wide Web. And we actually found somebody that's a guest on the show that has not paid any attention to it. And that's the reason we drug her in here to do the show today. And now, well, you can listen after it's over because we put it on podcast. Joan Swenson, Recovery Admissions and Marketing Alliance with Tallgrass, and Julie, the schoolmeister from the Executive Director of Face It Together Sioux Falls. All right, who wants to introduce this lady that hasn't paid any attention to this show?
Our mystery guest.
Our mystery guest.
I kind of like this. We could have like a call-in. Who is our mystery guest?
Right, we'd give little clues along the way.
Exactly. Why is she here?
She's here because she has a story to tell of recovery. That's why she is here. And she has a pretty cool recovery story, although she would tell you she doesn't. So we know it's a girl. And I guess we've tagged her all over Facebook now. So if they don't know who she is, they don't have Facebook.
Well, she also got me in trouble with the last Facebook with some suggestions. So we're going to have to bring Mary into the mix here in just a couple of minutes. All right. The two of you realize it's Memorial Day. Officially, summer has started as you were listening to 86, 87, 88 degrees the rest of the week. No doubt about that. When you're talking about addiction and recovery, warm weather a problem?
I don't think it makes much of a difference, although I suppose people go more to the lake. You know, they're boating, they're doing outside activities. Softball makes me think people drink more. But I don't know that with addiction itself, if that makes any difference. Weather changes doesn't seem to make much difference with addiction. I think there might be a spike in possibly the general population drinking, but for the rest of the 10% of us that actually suffer from the disease, we tend to be pretty steady most of the time, I would think. So,
does the schoolmeister agree with that?
I do agree with that. The schoolmeister. I like that I have my own article now. I'm not just Julie. I'm the schoolmeister. No, I do agree with Joan. I think the weather is irrelevant. The day of a week is irrelevant. The time of day is irrelevant to those of us who suffer. We plan our lives around that. I think what's cool now, though, is that with summer, I found that I still enjoy all the activities, the softball, the running, the going to the lake. I enjoy all that stuff. Now I can just do it and remember it.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we start mentioning numbers, but let's give you a little background on the show. It's important that you know on the second and fourth Tuesday, Mary, each month, we provide support for addiction with stories of recovery. And Joan mentioned just a minute ago, 1 in 10 in need of recovery from addiction. And our show does provide, we hope, for those that will listen, inspiration and attention to help those that have some help out there but maybe don't know they need the help. We're a support arm for them. In our show, we featured many of those that have been recovering from addiction. Many are now mentors, and I understand we're using the M word for you today as well. And Joan, you have been involved in a lot of projects. Julie has been involved in projects. You want to update us real quick before we get into the mystery guest who has signed in already and is looking at us like, why did I agree to do this?
She does that a lot to me. Yeah. Why did I agree to do this? Let's see. We had our Hy-Vee Operation Smile that ended, I believe, the Wednesday after the last time we were here. We do not know exactly how much we have gotten. We will know probably towards the end of the week when we have our giant check that Julie's really excited about because she's always wanted a giant fake check.
Novelty check.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they're so
I think
cool.
We need to find her one. I'm like totally down with having to find her a check now, a fake one. So
We'll find out. Too much Price is Right as a child.
We will find out a little bit more about that at the end of the week. We've gotten some updates on things. Summer Sober is coming up on June 21st. We now have a host for our Recovery Art Show in September. I can't look at the notes, but you can tell me if we're going to talk about that a little later.
Well, we are, and we also talked about another project for you. Have you started on the last show? I'm scared to even look at the picture that might come out of that.
I have conceptualized it in my brain, and part of it is actually on a canvas.
Good.
But it is not complete, and by the time we get to somewhere, maybe in a month, it might be, it's hard for me to stay focused and painting when the weather goes from 30 degrees to 80 degrees, and I'm out not drinking but enjoying my recovery life. So I've been having a little trouble staying in the painting frame of mind right now. So,
but we could post a couple of those online.
You absolutely.
Could send them out with Facebook.
Yep.
You're good at sending those Facebooks out.
I am. You know, I'm notoriously good for sending Facebook out.
You are, and I'm not sure everything she says about me is true, but, you know, probably some of it. But you had a walk, N-A-M-I
walk. NAMI walk, yeah.
How did that work?
You know, it was great. It was a great, great morning. We had great weather. John Williams, who's a friend of all of ours, he was the chair for the NAMI Walk this year, working with Wendy Giebank, the executive director over at the National Alliance for Mental Illness here in South Dakota. And, you know, there was over 350 people there that morning, did a really nice 2-mile walk. It was just, you know, it's so nice that people join together and say, hey, it's okay, and let's talk about mental health issues. You know, it's all kind of like what we do with addiction, coming out of the darkness into the light, saying that, hey, you know what? I mean, people walked up to me, people introduced themselves, and I'm so-and-so, and my name's Shirley, and yeah, I suffer from bipolar and addiction, and I'm okay with it. I thought that was so cool and so powerful that people wanted to talk about, hey, I'm a person with a co-occurring disorder, or I'm a person who suffers from this disease, and being totally open and honest about it, and that their family was there supporting them and their friends were there, and we all did this 2-mile walk together. I was a little obsessed with the Star Wars characters.
She was.
That were there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was like a
if you couldn't find
Shadow Trooper,
she was totally
and
like
a couple Jawas.
Mm-hmm. She was all, every time I couldn't find her, I knew if I looked for the Star Wars people, there she mm-hmm. was. She has a video on Facebook of them doing the teeter-totter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
There was a live band. I mean, it was
really neat. They did a really good job.
They did a great job. It was a great event. And I think the last time I checked, they'd raised like $54,000. I mean.
Nice.
Yeah. They did really
very
good
nice.
Work, raised awareness, raised a lot of money.
And again, maybe to give you just a couple of numbers that Joan, Julie, and Wendy shared last time, mental and substance use conditions often co-occur. In other words, individuals with addiction issues often have a mental health condition at the same time and vice versa. Approximately 8.9 million adults have co-occurring disorders. That is, they have both a mental and substance use disorder. Only 7.4% of individuals receive treatment for both conditions, with 56% receiving no treatment at all. What we're telling you in this show is that there is help. There are mentors available. If you feel like you're in a valley someplace and there is nobody, guess what? You have the schoolmeister here. You've got Mary Y. here. And you've got Joan and Bill all here talking something that maybe can help your life. We're going to come back. We're going to meet Mary Y. that goes back to October of 1988. I got to think of where I was in October of 1988. She'll tell us where she was, what's happened to her, and how she's a mentor. On this first Tuesday after Memorial Day, the official start to summer, as usual, we have Joan Swenson, Recovery Admissions and Marketing Alliance with Tallgrass. Too long to put on a calling card, not too long to be in an hour show. And the schoolmeister, Julie Schoolmeister, Executive Director for Face It Together, Sioux Falls. And as we do, we bring in one of the walking, talking stories about where they've been, what they're doing, and how they're helping today. So, Miss Joan, you know this lady much better than I do, except she was on Facebook, sent a lot of emails out that I heard about. But that's okay. Let's tell the story today, and maybe we help somebody in the audience.
This is our friend, our infamous friend, Mary Y. I've known Mary for, well, I think... I'm pretty sure I met Mary before I got sober in a 12-step meeting. And a few years, we've kind of gone in and out of lives since I've started working at Tallgrass. She has been a volunteer out there. She has volunteered out there since the doors opened. She's also a traveler. Now, I don't know if you all remember that I went into a trip on Cancun this year while you all freezing. Mm-hmm. It was below zero here, and it was like 80 there where I had...
Denny did a great job while you were gone.
Of course he did. He's an executive director for a reason, too. So,
he sure is.
You know, we had a... It was an amazing trip, and the woman who invited me along was Mary Y. So I got to go and participate in part of her travels, and she is a... So she's kind of a traveler. She goes all over and kind of... she just exudes recovery. She wouldn't think so, but she kind of exudes recovery and hope. So that is why we invited her along. That and the story about when we had the 5K last year. Julie loves Mary Y because Julie hadn't met all of us yet, and it was her first time out, I think.
It was. It was the first time at Tallgrass.
Yep.
And I'm so excited to do the 5K and ready to rock. And I thought, this is kind of an interesting group of people here. And I happened to lap a group, and Mary was smoking a cigarette while she was walking the 5K.
While she was walking the 5K, yeah, because, you know.
I'd never seen that in a race before. It made an impression.
Yeah, and how could you not love that? Because, you know, we are great people.
Her.
Yep, and so we've always kind of talked about that. And Mary, why now? It's been how many days?
16 days.
16 days without a cigarette right here. So.
Wow.
Woo. Exactly.
So that's a lot of chit-chat.
All right, Mary, let's take you through the story. The first note I have from you started in River Park, October 1988. Tell us about 1988.
Well, 1988, I was a mother. I was a wife. I was a full-time working girl. I had the house. I had it all. I had a great job. Had a great career, and on the outside, everything looked great. On the inside, though, every day I went home and I would drink. I had to drink. There was no choice in the matter. I didn't want to drink, but I had to drink. And so, you know, every night I went to bed early, and every morning I'd get up and I'd go back to work. But inside, I was dying. I was dying. I was lonely. I was full of terror. I was full of bewilderment. I was full of shame. I was full of guilt. And those were my constant companions. And yet, on the outside, everything looks normal. And I went to my boss, and I said, I have a problem. And she got me into treatment right away. And that was in October of 88. And I had bypass surgery in 1986 because I was always overweight. And I always thought that... You know, my weight was the problem. I thought that if I was skinny, I would be more successful. I would feel good inside. I wouldn't have an inferiority complex. And that wasn't the issue at all. And I had major surgery without even investigating it. And I lost 100 pounds and nothing changed. Inside, I was still miserable and dying inside. And so in 88, I went to treatment. And you know, for the first time, I had 30 days, I was sober. I had not been sober 30 days. I was a little girl that nipped it before the age of 10. And so I did not have many sober, you know, I didn't know what sobriety was. I drank since I was a little girl. And so when I went in 88, I felt good. 30 days, my body felt good. They gave me nutrition, and I was able to you know, rest, and my body felt good. And I thought I had it.
All right, so October 1988, but March 27th, 1990 is your sober date. In that period of time, something happened, and something has happened to you today to where you're able to come in, sit down, tell your story with the schoolmeister and with Joan, and tell an audience that... maybe you're going to help somebody out there today who faced many of the same things. What would you say to somebody if they had been through what you did? You tried weight issues. You tried 30 days at River Park. but nothing seemed to work until you got to March of 1990. Now, why were you able to just turn it off and to do what you're doing today without an interruption in 24 plus years?
I believe for me, I kept going in and out of the 12-step program because I kept trying to manage it. I kept trying to think I could control it. I kept thinking that it was a moral issue. Some part of me not understanding the disease process, the insanity to drink would come and I would drink. I had to drink again, and then I'd go back crying. And I did that until March 27th, where I finally just gave up. I was fighting, and I was too chicken to do suicide, even though I wanted to die every day. And I was too chicken to do that. And there was always a village of people of recovery before me that would give me that hope. And they gave me hope. I shoved it away because I drank because I had a disease. And so finally on March 27, 1990, I just finally gave up fighting. And I asked for help. And then I followed directions. And that's where my hope comes from. I had to give up fighting. And I had to do things I didn't want to do, just like I'm doing today.
But you're doing really well at it so far. It was sometime in that period of time you went to a Texas center. It says something about a Texas center. Were you in a Texas center? Those notes aren't right?
No.
That you didn't go to Texas?
No.
They didn't tell you you weren't going to be babysat?
Oh, on my last drunk, I called another treatment center.
There we go. Okay.
TX.
TX is a treatment center.
I called another treatment center, and I really believed that I just needed to go away again. And I have no idea who said this to me, but she saved my life because she said, "Have you been given the tools of recovery?" And I said, "Yes." "Do you know where the 12-step meetings are?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I'm not going to babysit you. Pick up the tools that were given to you."
Now, Julie, Joan, does that normally work to tell somebody to pick up the tools and I'm not going to babysit you? Is that how you would word it?
I don't know that I said it. I've said those, something similar to people. There's a difference between what I do as for my job and what I do for recovery life. I mean, there's just, it's my profession is not my life.
But you do that 24 hours a day.
I have to do my recovery life 24 hours a day.
Right.
I try not to do my job 24 hours a day, but it is sometimes that I need to. And so I get stopped a lot from people who don't know when I'm not at work necessarily, though I'm not doing my job. Mm-hmm. And I have told people who've done multiple treatments, and that's, I always say, if you come into Tallgrass and say, "Oh my gosh, I want to stay here for 30 days, you don't belong there. There's no reason that it's not a spa. Right. You're there to change your life. And if you have the idea that you're just going to hide out for 30 days, it's not the place for you to be. So yes, you need to be able to. I've told people on the phone, alumni who want to come back for the third time or whatever. You know what?
You know what you need to do.
You need to just go do it. You need to surrender, just like I had to, just like Julie had to, just like Mary had to. You have to surrender. Go to those 12-step meetings and find some people. And that I don't want to. I know. I didn't want to either. You know?
And I think, too, it's the chronic disease management that we talk about all the time. It's you have the toolkit. Mm-hmm. You know what you need to do as far as what you need to do. But it's a matter of implementation. And it's a matter of saying, okay, this is what I'm going to have to do for the rest of my life. And it's hard to accept that. I think it's hard to say, "Oh, okay, this is who I am." But then at some point I said, "Wow, this is who I am.
Right.
This is okay. I like it." And it gets better. And unless someone's been in the situation where they either have seen people get better and they want to emulate that, or they really truly believe they can get better, it can be really discouraging. You know, I mean, I know people who, "Well, I could teach the treatment class. You know, I've been there so many times." Okay.
Yet you're still going back to jail.
Right. Right. You know, at some point you have to have some onus and you have to say, I want to be well. It's just like if you had diabetes or hypertension or something, nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to manage it for you. You have to take the onus for that.
Let's give some phone numbers. People that have some questions today. Mary's got a great story to tell. Mary, you did a great job telling the story, except for me not understanding that TX was a treatment.
He doesn't know the lingo.
Not Texas. I lived in Texas 14 years. That's my first thought, that it could be in Texas because they obviously have their issues there as well. I want to get into you as a mentor, what you have worked to do, how you help people, and how, you know, you kind of have an anniversary today. That was March 27th. This is May 27th. So we're 24 years, 2 months that you've been sober, something to be proud of. And our job today is to let you know that you have help, whether it be with Mary or Joan or Julie. That's the reason we do the Addiction Recovery Show. Fox Business News next on the Half Hour. Welcome back to the Addiction Recovery Show, the show that we do with our friends at Tallgrass. And Joan brings along Julie, the schoolmeister, the executive director from Face It Together Sioux Falls. And it's something that we do twice a month. We've done this for over a year. And the reason, there are people out there that need our help. We talk to those people all the time. We know that the people in the show have a way of talking that doesn't always fit the people that are behind these microphones. These ladies that are with us today are experts. Mary, we talked a little bit about the fact that you've been sober now since 24 years, 2 months today. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, you are a mentor. You speak at the VA at times, which is certainly a place that's had a lot of news in the last few weeks. But, you know, what I'm curious about is that hard love that somebody gave you at a treatment center far from Texas. But it was something that was designed to tell you, we've given it to you now. You got to make your decision. Do you use that as a part of your presentation? I would guess something close to that.
Something very close to that. My mentor was a lady that I had during that chronic relapse that I was always coming in contact with, and I absolutely hated her because she was always telling me the truth. And so I just, for some reason, on that next day when I did call, I called somebody. That is the woman I called, the lady of hard love. And she has been my mentor for those 24 years and 2 months. And I'm very blessed for that because she has always told me the truth. And she never has really cared about my feelings. She's not touchy-feely.
She cares, but she doesn't.
Yeah, she cares about my life, that I absolutely get a life today. Because she is still willing to tell me the truth. And she's not real kind about it. She calls me cupcake, and sometimes I have to sit down and have an explanation. And I can take those today because today I want to live. And I didn't want to live 24 years ago, 2 months ago. So mine is a tough love also. But all of us are different. All of us are different in this walk. I could not be coddled. Some people need a little more coddling. You know, it's about hope. It's about truth. And it's about facts of 12-step work and doing those things that, like today, that I don't want to do.
Mary, I'm going to ask you a tough question.
Yes.
Okay? You okay with this?
I'm okay.
We're saying 1 out of 10 is in need of recovery for addiction, which means that it may be more than that because we've talked maybe it should be 2 out of 10. But there are a lot of people that still feel once a drunk, always a drunk. You're proof that's not the case.
Well, I'm proof that I'm still an alcoholic because mine is a disease of ism, and that's I, self, and me. I have alcoholism. And so for me, I believe I was born a drunk. I believe I was born with this addiction, with this disease. And I believe that it's just waiting. I believe my disease just sits here and waits.
It's a devil.
It's a devil. And I have a choice today, because of the 12 steps, to choose either the light or the dark. And it's a journey. It's a daily journey for me, because I do believe I am a sober drunk.
Joan, Mary serves as a mentor of sorts for you. Tell us that relationship.
Well, Mary serves as a mentor for many women that I know. When you get out of treatment, they send you off into the world to find people like yourself that have recovery. And one of the people along the way I've met was Mary. And a few years ago, after getting a divorce and isolating in my disease and not doing what I was supposed to be doing, I lost the mentor that I had, or outgrew her. I was told by the people that I worked with that I better find another one because I was crazy. So I did, and one of the people that came to mind that I knew that had long-term recovery was Mary. And so I called her up and I said, I don't know if I asked her on the phone. I asked her over and we had coffee at my house and I asked her and if she would be willing to help me in my own recovery, that I would have somebody that I could be accountable to. I'm really fortunate. I have a lot of people that I can be accountable to, but not everybody has that sort of thing. I work in an environment where I get to be accountable to a whole bunch of them. But Mary's that one person when I need somebody to tell me the truth, or I need somebody to remind me to pray or meditate or go to a meeting or go help another alcoholic, she's the person that I call and ask about. So
Mary told us earlier that she had it all. She had a great job, and she went to her boss, and the boss took action. That always hasn't been the case. And the one thing that I did see with the Face It Together program was that you promote businesses coming together. 30 plus now?
30. Okay. 30 businesses.
That actually will help people to find the help. And there's some businesses out there that may be on the sidelines. And, you know, we have a lot of people in offices listen to this show. Mm-hmm. Maybe today you can entice another couple of three businesses to get involved with the addiction recovery side of it, whether it's Tallgrass or Face It Together, whatever it might be. Make your best elevator spiel.
Well, you know, I think the important part about the employer initiative is that we have found that it's a proven, we've proven results. When the CEO of a company stands in front of employees and says, we want you well, you know, we want you here, we want you productive, we believe in you, and we care about you, that's a really strong message. And I think that general wellness is important to so many companies because of a lot of the terminology and the barriers and the stigma that we've inherited with addiction. For a long time, people didn't want to talk about it. And they think that if I acknowledge, I hate to use the word admit. I think people do use the word admit a lot. If I admit that I have a problem, I could be fired. I could lose my job. That is not the case a lot anymore. Mary's testament to that. And we also have different businesses throughout town who are testament to that. When we did a presentation at Component Manufacturing a few weeks ago, there were three people that came forward within a week to get help. So I think you'll find that for a very, the investment that you make in Face It Together Sioux Falls as a business, you're also making an investment in the community, because making your employee well, it's making their family better, it's making their kids better, it's making the whole community better. And then you have people like Mary who will get out and share their story, and look at all the lives Mary's impacted because her boss would help her get well. I mean, do you think if your boss had not acknowledged that and helped you at the time, you would have been able to start the process?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't have.
All right. Practical question. We got 30 businesses that have signed on. You got some employees out there that know they're addicted. How do they know they can go to their boss?
You know, I think if you have, you know, a supervisor or a person in HR that you feel comfortable with, that's a first step you can always go through. Or call Face It Together Sioux Falls. You know, if you're not sure whether or not your business or your supervisor is going to be receptive to it, just call Face It Together Sioux Falls, 605-274-2262. You may work for a business that we're connected with, and you just may not know that. Or we can, you know, help make the connection. I think, again, it goes back to all that stigma that we've inherited. It's a disease, and your employer wants you there, and they want you to get well. They wouldn't have given you a job if they didn't want you there, you know. So we've got to get past the stigma of it and talk about it, you know. So if you think you're struggling, call Face It Together, call Tallgrass. There's so many resources in this community. We're really, really lucky. So don't be afraid to make the first call. Check out the website if you're not sure if you want to talk to somebody at first, you know, faceitsiouxfalls.org. Just cruise around the website, see what we have to offer.
Tallgrass, how do you fit in with those employers, those jobs, those people that are concerned about going to their boss and saying, I have a problem?
Well, we provide a 30-day residential spiritual retreat for people who suffer from drugs and alcohol addiction, which is different than what Face It does. So we are the people that when people call me and say, well, I have a job, I'm most likely the person who has to suggest to them that they, you know, are maybe not being the best employee that they think they've been. And that possibly if, you know, what I have found to be true, whether they are part of the initiative or not, is that most employers, at least in our community, are so willing to, they want people well, like mm-hmm. you said. I mean, whether they're part of the Face It Employee Initiative or not, they really do want people well. And I've had people, you know, who are so scared that they didn't want to go talk to their boss, and their boss was like, yes, go. Of course, we'll hold your job. My understanding, and we may have to look into this, is you can't be fired for going to treatment for 30. I think that's like a federal law. I mean, they can fire you for not showing up for work when you've been drunk or hungover or all of those things. But if you went to your boss and you've had an exemplary, you know, job performance, they can't mm-hmm. fire you for going into treatment. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's at some point you're going to have to tell the truth of what's going on in your life. I mean, it's just, if you're going to get well, you have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And usually that's where.
Well, let me encourage people who are out there that are saying, I'm scared to go to my boss, to call one of the two of you mm-hmm. and talk. Mm-hmm. And numbers they can call?
Face It Together Sioux Falls is 605-274-2262.
And if you want to reach us at Tallgrass, the number is 605-368-5559.
Back with more on our Addiction Recovery Show after we take just a minute timeout. Welcome back to It's Your Business, Addiction and Recovery, something we do on the second and fourth Tuesday each month, 9 to 10 o'clock. And we encourage you, if you know someone or if you are that someone that needs some help, that you check with Tallgrass, check with Face It Together. Sioux Falls has a mechanism designed to help, and they've got mentors like Mary that's with us this morning to make a difference. All right, we have some upcoming events. We're getting down towards the end of the ball game this morning, but we do have events coming up. I know there's a golf tournament because every time I have Paul Doherty on our show talking golf from Golf Etc., and he'll be on tomorrow, he says, we've got to talk about that event, that golf tournament.
I love it. That's great. Paul and Dave Janza are leading the charge for the golf tournament.
Pair.
I know, right? It's kind of like, yeah, I don't even, diamond. It's the diamond level pair. I don't even know how to describe them. I call Paul Fancy Pants because the first time I ever saw him, he had on the fanciest purple golf pants.
Nice. Fancy pants, huh?
Good.
Fancy pants. So you can, he'll be real glad I let that cat out of the bag to you now if you're going to see him tomorrow. But yeah, we're super stoked about the golf tournament. Monday, July 14th, 9-hole shotgun starts, as Janza describes them. Three different rounds. 7:30 in the morning, 10:30, and then those are going to be your serious, more competitive golf. The 1:30 afternoon is more of a fun where I would have to play because I am not a golfer. They're doing $100 player, $400 team. if someone wants to do a whole sponsorship, which includes a team entry, it's $500. If you want to be a tournament sponsor, it's $1,000. And then you can have two teams and a whole sponsorship as a tournament sponsor.
Where's it going to be at?
Keene.
It will be, it's going to be the little nine hole with three or four.
The nine hole shot, yep. Okay. Yep, exactly. So you can call down to Face It Together, or you can call Dave Jans at 360-6312. Or call Paul at Golf Etc., 361-8333. Lots of prizes. If you're in the morning, we'll feed you breakfast. If you're in that afternoon one, we'll feed you lunch. We're just going to have fun.
There you go.
Yeah. Just, I'm really excited about it. I've never been involved in a golf tournament before, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's time.
Summer sober.
Summer sober. Coming up here.
Yeah, we're almost in June.
I know. Are you going to come out before Summer Sober and do a show like we did last year?
Well, let's talk about that.
We should have. We should, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
That worked out really well.
That was well. Summer Sober is June 21st, Saturday, June 21st. We are kicking it off at 9 a.m. where we're going to do another 5K. Some of us won't be smoking this time, but we'll have another 5K. You need to register. You can give me a call or you can register when you get there. At 11, we're going to have our friend Elizabeth, who is from Face It National, come and do some yoga in our pasture. And we're really excited about that because that's been something that a whole bunch of us have been trying to get into is yoga to quiet our minds. Around 2 p.m., we are going to start painting our canvas mural that will eventually roll on over into the Recovery Art Show. I believe our first speaker hits the stage at 5, or no, we have food at 5, speaker at 6, speaker at 7, and then we will have a bonfire at dark. It is a fundraiser to help raise money for our scholarship fund so that we can help more people get into recovery. So,
as we're talking about these events, you guys have websites. You want to share the websites?
Yep, you can go to tallgrassrecovery.org, and just about all the upcoming events is on there.
Or Face Together Sioux Falls is at faceitsiouxfalls.org, or also a Facebook page, or follow us on Twitter. Yeah. Any of those options you're going to have. Because like we've got our 5K with the Canaries coming up June 28th. So if you can't run on the 21st at Tallgrass, you can run down at Falls Park on the 28th. Gratitude 10 at Jazz Fest. Yeah. We're just kind of trying, and we're also doing something really different. Have you guys heard of the Uncorked painting nights?
Oh, yeah.
With the, a lot of times those get promoted as go have a bunch of drinks with your friends and try to paint. But what we're doing is Face It Together is going to host one, and Uncorked Creativity is going to be the host of that. They're going to give $10 from each registration fee to Face It Together Sioux Falls, which is pretty cool. And we're going to host the event down at our national headquarters. So there's 20 spaces available if y'all want to sign up. All the information's on Facebook there. But if you ever wanted to try one of those classes and have the safety and security to know that it's not going to be all about drinking, that it's going to be more about hanging out with your friends and having fun and doing a painting, great time to try it out.
And March into the Light coming up on September 6th.
Yes, September 6th. That's going to be a big weekend because the night before, September 5th, will be the art show kickoff down at the pavilion. Then on the 6th in the morning, we'll do the March into the Light. Go into the Sidewalk Arts Festival, have a booth out there. It's going to be a great day, a great kickoff for Recovery Month.
Let's see, who didn't finish the walk last year?
Oh, well, she finished it, but she had to have a piggyback ride, if I remember correctly. Princess Sylvia, she had to stop and wait for us when we were going around the park.
She cut through the park.
She said, I'll wait here. You guys go ahead. And then we picked her back up. So she may have cut through the park as well. She's kind of a diva, that one. Yeah. She'll be there again.
And whose daughter
was really pumped.
Is that?
I would say that's Steve's daughter.
Okay. All right. When we come back, we're going to kind of pry into Mary a little bit. Her first impression of this show today and what we could say, what we can do to help more people out there. 1 in 10 need help with recovery and addiction. First exposure to our addiction recovery show that we've been doing for 14, 15 months now. And we want to hear what her thoughts are. And we'll make it Mary's Corner from now on. We'll see if it all comes together. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to It's Your Business. This morning, it's show number 682 in our original It's Your Business series. Thought I could catch Rev there, but I couldn't do it. The cymbal still was in play. But in our show today, Joan Swenson, Recovery Admissions Marketing Alliance with Tallgrass, Julie Schoolmeister, Executive Director of Face It Together at Sioux Falls, and our guest today, Mary Y., who has a sober date of March 27th, 1990. Mary, nice to have you in the studio. You didn't know what to expect. About halfway into it, you were like, please take the guard away from the door so I can leave. But you have helped tell a story today. You are somebody that is on the road to recovery. When I ask you the question about once a drunk, always a drunk, you gave an answer I've never heard before, which was very good. But we've talked about the importance of this show, that we have a chance to reach out to people. Is this something that we should do? And if so, what else could we do to maybe reach out a little further?
I think this is awesome. You know, I didn't have a clue when I was out there dying. I didn't even have a clue there was a treatment center. I had no idea that anything about 12 steps. I knew nothing. And so it was my boss that was able to really get it started for me. And that was before Face It. So I think it's absolutely wonderful that we have this available to us out there and this talk of recovery. You know, I have a disease of shame. So when you're talking about recovery, you're talking about hope. That's what I can hear today. But when I'm in my disease, I only know guilt and shame and terror, and I don't know hope. And you're offering hope on the radio, so I think it's amazing. When I was relapsing, when I did go back for an aftercare, they told me that it was normal for relapse and that only 4% in 1988 were going to ever get sober. I don't know what statistics really are today. I just know that it just doesn't have to be that low today, that there is a choice today.
So if you're talking with somebody in an elevator that you're mentoring, mm-hmm. you say, you know, there is a place on the radio that you can listen to that's going to explain to you that you're not alone in this, mm-hmm. that there are a lot of people out there that want to help, that at one time were an addict, today are mentors, today are heading up programs. And you've got a community like Sioux Falls that's in a position that's kind of unique.
Very unique and very giving that message of hope. 'Cause that's not what my disease would tell me.
So what have we learned today?
Wow. Mary's awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Once again, that there are amazing, wonderful people getting well in the community that are willing to share their stories. You know, I think that to me, I always, every time I hear somebody new, I think, oh yeah. I mean, everybody says something a little differently or they bring a new insight. And I think it's pretty incredible.
You know, from the people we've had somebody just up the street on Phillips. We've had a gentleman from Pier who never missed the show. Mary, he understood a podcast, okay? And now you understand it today.
Let's shout out to Shane. Shane, when you listen to this podcast in your tractor later.
But it's a story that affects a lot of families. It affects mm-hmm. a lot of people. And we know that there are people out there listening today that it affects you. And we hope that you will take the time to pick up the phone and visit with these two ladies. Nothing more than to visit, tell them your story, and let them suggest maybe what you do to go from here. Joe?
You can reach us at Tallgrass at 605-368-5559 or on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
And you can reach Face It Together Sioux Falls at 605-274-2262 or on the internet at faceitsiouxfalls.org.
Very happy that Mary told us the story about the center that she went to. Wasn't in Texas.
No, Texas.
TX. You guys got to get... People got to get rid of initials. And, you know, treatment center is not TX to me. It's Texas, where I spent 14 years. But for somebody to tell you when you were drinking that you weren't going to be babysat, you have all the tools, and you have to make that decision yourself. We're here. We can help you. We can talk. But you have to want to be helped. Mary is celebrating 24 years and 2 months today. Mary, there's a reason that you're still with us. And I think maybe this radio show, maybe the people that are listening today, my guess is you've helped a lot more today. Thank you for taking your time, being willing to come visit with us.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll be in June, getting close to the sober, getting close to a few more events. For now, though, our time's up. Thank you for yours.